Today is the United Nations designated International Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's also the 69th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz concentration camp, the killing factory where more than 1 million murders took place. Let's reflect on the effort to promote Holocaust education with Beth Wenger. She chairs the history department at the University of Pennsylvania. And Beth, you also teach Jewish history at the school. Thanks for joining us once again on Newsworks Tonight.
My pleasure.
Over your time teaching, have you noticed a change in the knowledge that students bring to the course?
There is some change. I'm not sure it's really about intricate knowledge of what happened during the Holocaust and historical events. What's changed is that the Holocaust is much more available in popular culture and in images. So, for example, by the time a student sits down in a college course, he or she has a reel of Holocaust photographs probably in their heads. They've probably seen several films that deal with the Holocaust. They may have gone deeper. They may have seen interviews conducted with, seen or heard interviews conducted with survivors. So I think it's more pervasive culturally.
Though those films, be they, say, Schindler's List or Sophie's Choice or Shoah, are not necessarily historically accurate.
That's why I said I don't think there's necessarily a change in the historical information and knowledge base that they bring, but there's a familiarity with what the Holocaust is, sometimes not entirely an accurate image of what the Holocaust was.
Let's discuss the phrase "never forget," which was invoked after the Holocaust and now some decades on. Has that message been, if not diluted, compromised by the intervening years as well as several subsequent examples of genocide throughout the world?
First of all, "never forget" is, if you'll forgive me saying so, it's a little simplistic. You know, there are many things never to forget. I'm an historian, so I see complexity, and "never forget" is a little bit simplistic. Now, if you're asking me, do I agree in principle with the notion that we all must remember what happened in the Holocaust, Jewish, non-Jewish, that this kind of terrible destruction of human life can happen, and we ought to be on guard about that anywhere in the world? Of course I agree with that. The truth is, in some cases, knowledge of the Holocaust has sensitized people, governments, when there is, for example, ethnic cleansing in Bosnia. You heard these analogies. So in some ways, it is working. Is it working as much as we had hoped it would? Probably not.
We've talked about the knowledge base of students entering your class. How about the interest level for both college and grad students?
I think the interest level is still high. And it's an event that, in some ways, it's further from students now because they're less likely to know or have met survivors in their communities. So it's in some ways more distant from them. I believe, though, it's still a topic of great interest. But I think it's really important, and here I'll just speak for myself as someone who teaches Jewish history. I want students to understand the Holocaust very much. But I want them to understand it as a part of Jewish history. The thing that makes me the most nervous is that people will be more interested in how Jews died than how Jews lived. And that's a kind of danger that I think we all have to be careful of as we teach the Holocaust. Now, again, we need to teach the Holocaust, but we need to pay attention to how we teach it.
So toward that end, give some examples of how you get across to students how Jews lived.
In the two lecture courses I teach, the teaching of the Holocaust, for example, in a course on European Jewish history, they've already studied Enlightenment views about Jews and debates over the emancipation of Jews, which conveyed a distaste for Jews at the same time. And so they understand where some of this comes from, and they've studied modern anti-Semitism. So while I am very clear to say you can't draw a line from instances of modern anti-Semitism in the 1890s to what happens in the 1940s, you do understand a certain cultural context that I think makes sense. And you understand that Jews lived and had organizations and culture And the worst kind of stereotype students might arrive in a class with, not all, but some, is that somehow European Jews, especially East European Jews, are sitting around in the decades up to the Holocaust waiting to die, you know, waiting to be killed. And so I do make a strong point of teaching the culture, the rich culture that, that emerged in those communities.
Professor Wenger, thanks so much for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Thank you very much.
Beth Wenger chairs the History Department at the University of Pennsylvania. She also teaches Jewish history there.